Hello, and welcome to your GCSE Food Preparation and Nutrition Study podcast. I'm here to guide you through one of the most scientifically fascinating topics on the AQA specification, the functional and chemical properties of ingredients. This is Section 3.2, and it's absolutely crucial for both your written exam and your practical assessment. Now, I know what you're thinking, chemistry and food, but here's the thing. Understanding exactly how ingredients work at a molecular level is what separates a good answer from an excellent one. Examiners are looking for precise scientific terminology, not vague descriptions. So today we're going to break down proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, and I'll show you exactly how to earn those top marks. Let's dive in. First up, proteins and the process of coagulation. This is absolutely essential knowledge. When you heat egg protein, and this is key between 60 and 70 degrees Celsius, the protein molecules denature. Now, don't say they break down in your exam. That's imprecise. Use the word denature. The coiled protein molecules unfold, then bond together to form a solid network. That's coagulation. This is why your scrambled egg set, why your custard thickens, and why your quiche filling becomes firm. But here's where it gets interesting for your exam. You need to link the chemical process to the sensory outcome. So don't just write, the egg coagulates. Instead, write, the egg protein denatures at 60 to 70 degrees Celsius, causing coagulation, which sets the mixture and creates a firm, stable texture. See the difference? You've named the process, given the temperature, and explained the result. That's how you access the higher mark bands. Now let's talk about starch and gelatinization. This is another process that comes up again and again in exam questions. Starch granules are insoluble in cold water, they just sit there. But when you heat them in liquid to between 60 and 100 degrees Celsius, something magical happens. The granules absorb water, swell up, and eventually burst, releasing starch molecules that thicken the mixture. This is gelatinization. Think about making a white sauce. You heat milk with flour and it thickens. That's gelatinization in action. For full marks, you'd write, the starch granules absorb liquid and swell during heating. At approximately 80 degrees Celsius, the granules burst, releasing starch molecules which gelatinize the mixture, creating a thick, viscous sauce. Notice I've included the mechanism and the temperature and the outcome. That's what examiners want. Next, dextrinization versus caramelization. Students mix these up all the time and it costs marks. Dextrinization is the breakdown of starch by dry heat. Think of toast browning or the crust on bread. Caramelization is the oxidation of sugar at high temperatures, around 160 degrees Celsius and above. Completely different processes. If the question asks why bread crusts turn golden brown, the answer is dextrinization, not caramelization. Now, raising agents. You need to know three types: chemical, biological, and mechanical. Chemical raising agents like bicarbonate of soda react with acid to produce carbon dioxide gas. The bubbles get trapped in the mixture, expand in the oven heat, and create a light texture. Biological raising agents, that's yeast, ferment sugars to produce carbon dioxide and alcohol. And mechanical raising agents, that's when you physically incorporate air, like whisking egg whites, or when steam expands in the oven, like in choux pastry. Here's a top tip. When you're explaining raising agents, always state the type of agent, the gas produced, and how it creates the texture. For example, yeast is a biological raising agent that ferments sugars, producing carbon dioxide gas, which becomes trapped in the gluten network, causing the dough to rise and creating a light, airy texture in the final bread. Finally, let's talk about emulsification. An emulsion is a mixture of two liquids that don't normally mix, like oil and water. To stabilize them, you need an emulsifier. Egg yolk contains lecithin, which is a fantastic emulsifier. One end of the lecithin molecule attracts water, the other attracts oil, so it holds the two together. That's how mayonnaise works. For exam answers, you'd write, lecithin in egg yolk acts as an emulsifier with hydrophilic and hydrophobic ends that stabilize the oil and water mixture, preventing separation. Right, let's talk exam technique. The biggest mistake students make is describing the method instead of the science. If the question asks, explain how whisking egg whites creates a foam, don't just write you whisk air into the eggs. That's method, not science. Instead, write, whisking mechanically incorporates air bubbles into the egg white. The agitation denatures the protein, which forms a network around the air bubbles, stabilizing the foam structure. See how we've explained the mechanism? That's what gets you into the top mark band. Another common error, being vague about temperatures. Don't write heat until it thickens. give the specific temperature range. Gelatinization happens between 60 and 100 degrees. Coagulation happens between 60 and 70 degrees. Caramelization starts around 160 degrees. Learn these numbers, they're evidence, and examiners love evidence. And here's a golden rule for explaining questions. Use the structure, ingredient, process, outcome. For example, gluten and flour ingredient forms an elastic network when hydrated and kneaded, process, which traps gas and provides structure to bread, outcome. This structure ensures you cover all the assessment objectives. One more thing. When questions ask about dietary adaptations like gluten-free baking, you need to explain what's lost. So if someone removes gluten, you'd say, removing gluten eliminates the elastic protein network that traps gas, resulting in a denser texture with less rise. Alternative binders like xanthan gum may be needed to provide structure. Okay, let's test your recall. I'll give you 5 seconds after each question. Question one, at what temperature does egg protein coagulate? The answer is 60 to 70 degrees Celsius. Question two, what's the difference between dextrinization and caramelization? Dextrinization is starch breakdown by dry heat. Caramelization is sugar oxidation at high heat. Question three, name the emulsifier found in egg yolk, lecithin. Question four, what are the three types of raising agents? Chemical, biological, and mechanical. Question five, what is the scientific term for protein molecules unfolding when heated? Denaturation. How did you do? If you got them all, brilliant. If not, go back and review those sections. All right, let's wrap up. Today we've covered the essential chemical processes you need to know for section 3.2. Coagulation, gelatinization, dextrinization, caramelization, aeration, and emulsification. Remember, examiners want precise scientific terminology, specific temperatures, and clear links between the chemical process and the sensory outcome. Use the ingredient process outcome structure for explain questions, always include temperatures as evidence, and never confuse your dextrinization with your caramelization. This topic is worth 40% AO1 and 40% AO2, which means you need both knowledge and application. Practice applying these principles to different dishes and scenarios. Good luck with your revision, and remember, understanding the science behind cooking is what will set you apart in both your exam and your practical work. You've got this. Thanks for listening and happy studying.